man was walking through the woods and he looked down and saw an acorn and he picked it up. And as he picked it up, the acorn started to talk in his ear. And the acorn said, "I will grow, and by I will become big and strong, and the birds will nest in me. And by, I will provide shade in the summer for the weary traveler. And by, I will provide fuel to heat man's home in the frozen winter. And by, I will be shelter to those who seek a roof in time of storm." And after hearing that little acorn go on, the man said, "Oh, you daydreaming little acorn, will you be all this?" And the acorn said, "Yes, God and I." The point of this little story is that we can live confident and happy lives if we approach life like this little acorn. Now, it's probably a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. How many of us are depressed or have been depressed right now? How many of us have been stressed out or in distress? Maybe we at times feel like David when he wrote Psalms 42 and verse 5, and he was depressed and he said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me?" Or maybe we might be sometimes like Jesus in Matthew 26 and verse 38, where he said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful and nigh unto death." Or maybe Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 4, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened." We live in a society today, sadly, where stress and depression and anxiety, it used to kind of creep up on us. Now it just kind of jumps on our backs. It is part of our human predicament. Here just this past week, they came out with some new statistics on suicides, and it was very depressing. And we have to kind of understand and think, why is this happening? But look around us. Look what we're pressured with on a daily basis. And the sad part of it is that for all of these different things, and we think, well, I'm a strong person, no one is immune from it. It will happen to us sometime in our life. Sometimes more often than it should. And so we ask ourselves, what is the solution? How do we handle this? How do we get a grip on it? The simplest and the only way that I really know how to do it is head on. But with God's help. Because we know with His help we can overcome evil. And with God's help, we will not be overcome by evil. In the third Psalm, in verse 5, the Scripture says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Because that's one of our problems, is we try to figure it out on our own. If every good and perfect gift is from God, then by implication, every wicked thing must be from Satan. One of his favorite tools in order to pull us away from God and to weaken our faith is anxiety. It works extremely well. It is extremely effective. I read this week, and I can't remember where it was. I racked my brains out this afternoon trying to remember where I read it so I could give credit to it. But I read that the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. And that is true. Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, and there's where the bulk of our text for tonight will come from in the Beatitudes and Jesus' answer to anxiety. And he describes here in verse 30 that the one who is anxious has little faith. Not only in this verse, but in three other verses, no less, Jesus used this terminology in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 31, and chapter 16 and verse 8, and in Luke 12 and verse 28. It was a huge topic for Jesus because so many were suffering the anxiety, a corrupt religious leadership, a corrupt government being indentured, so to speak, to a foreign power, their freedoms restricted. But it is in Hebrews 11 and verse 6 that the Hebrew writer reminds us that one who lacks faith cannot please God. And this is exactly what the devil's purpose is behind anxiety, is to make sure that we do not please God. Anxiety is one of those things where we are overly concerned about the have-tos in life. At times we allow anxiety to overwhelm us to the point that we are practically unable to function. Sometimes these anxieties come from a chemical imbalance or some body function. And that's not the anxiety I speak of today. In the context of overcoming it in Matthew 6 and verse 30, I'm sorry, I hit the wrong page. It's not a modern phenomenon. Anxiety has been around us since the beginning of time. There was four great men in the Old Testament. And if it weren't for their great faith in God, anxiety would have overwhelmed them. They would have been identified as anxious. In Genesis 12 and verse 1, Abraham was challenged by his faith. He was told to go into a place of unknowns. But instead of being overwhelmed by the challenge of leaving a familiar place, he did as he was commanded. We're reminded in Hebrews 11 in verse 8 that by faith he was called out to go into a place in which he was receiving for an inheritance. And he obeyed. When we look at Isaac, he was challenged in the everyday necessities of life. There was a famine in the land that Moses wrote about in Genesis 26 and verse 1. And it was a famine in the land, and beside this first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac, he went to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, and to Gerar. You know, Isaac could have been anxious about what he was going to eat, what he was going to feed his family. Have we ever wondered where our next meal was going to come from? There's a lot of people that do. What about where you're going to spend the night? But in verse 3 of Genesis 26, it tells us that Isaac was not anxious, that he knew that God was going to take care of him and his everyday necessities. You know, Jacob, he was challenged by fear after he had tricked Isaac and Esau into giving him Esau's blessings. He was forced to leave home, and he went to live with his uncle Laban in Haran. And while he was trying to sleep one night, he had a dream about a ladder that was reaching up into heaven. And going up and down that ladder were angels, and at the top of the ladder was God. In Genesis 28 and verse 17, it tells us that he was afraid, and he said, "How dreadful is this place?" But regardless of the dreadful place that he was in, he was not overcome with fear, for he knew that God was watching out for him. And who could not think of Joseph? Can you imagine being in a family besought by problems, family-generated problems. There was favoritism, there was emotional abuse, there was jealousy, there was physical abuse, and there was deception. All of these challenges found their way into his life. And even though he suffered these serious problems within the family dynamic itself, he had learned to trust God anyway. You know, I gave you in the beginning a simple cure. And it's not always simple. So I'll give you some more things to think about that may help you in your journey. There are some helpful hints, and five of these we find in Matthew chapter 6, in Jesus' sermon that he preached. First and foremost, we each need to know and understand just how important we are to God the Father. No other creature on the face of the earth has received the promise that we have received. No other creature on the face of the earth does God want to see more face to face than you and I. And in verse 26, Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, be not anxious for your life." He said, don't be anxious for what you eat or what you're going to drink. Don't worry about your body and what you're going to put on it. And then he says, is life not worth more than food? The body more than clothing? And then he tells us to look at the birds of the air. He kind of reminds us that they don't sow, they don't reap, and they don't gather into barns. And yet God takes care of them. And then he tells all those listening that day, are you not of more value than they? You know, family dog eats once a day. Mine eat twice. The cat eats all day long. I think he's like a bird. We generally eat three times a day. They tell us we need to eat five times a day, just smaller portions. Birds eat every day, all day long. I'm about ready to put another bag of bird seed in the feeder in the backyard. You know, sometimes we need to realize that there are things that are beyond our control. Jesus kind of reminds us of this in verse 27 when he says, being anxious, how can you add 1 hour to your life? You know, in all actuality, our anxiety is probably taking away hours out of our lives by the strain we have put on our bodies. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it gets you absolutely nowhere. There are three categories, I think, of life that we need to worry about. Or that we worry about, not need to, but worry about. And those are the things that we absolutely have no control over. Things that have already happened. Things that must happen, that we can't control anyway. And the things that will never happen. That's usually what consumes us on a daily basis. You know, we can't undo the past. So it makes no sense to worry about it. You know, if in the past sin was involved, then we need to go to God and ask for that forgiveness and be done with it. If the problems that we have are the things that have to happen, we need to prepare for those things and then leave it be. A lot of us are prepared for the future when we retire. We have a savings plan or a plan or work for a company that provides us a retirement that we can have an income afterwards. And we work towards that end. But it's going to come, and there's nothing that we can worry about that's going to undo it or delay its reaction. And then we need to remember the things that will probably never happen. We can't waste time on those things. They have concluded, researchers have, that 85% of the things that we worry about never happen. ever. Let go and let God should be our motto. Why are you anxious about clothing, Jesus says, and starting in verse 28 through 30. Then he talks about the lilies of the field, how they grow, that they don't toil, they don't spin. And then he says, and yet Solomon in all his glory is not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? I think I can safely say that everyone in these four walls tonight believe in God. And we believe with all our hearts that he is our Creator. And we also believe that he loves us and that he expressed that love through Christ. And we also believe that man's response to that love is obedience. But the problem that we have is trust in God. It's not a matter of believing. It's a matter of, let me rephrase that. It's not a matter of believing in God. It is a matter of believing God. Let go and let God will work in our lives. We need to see God not just as God, but as our Father. Therefore, he continues in verse 31 and 32, be not anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. These verses do not say that God knows your need or the Father knows your need. It says that he knows of your needs. He knows those things. He knows we need to eat. He knows we need clothing and shelter. And he provides us a way of obtaining those things. It may take a little dirt under our fingernails to get them, but he is there with us and he provides the opportunity. How many times have we asked in our prayers that God, you know our needs better than we do. He knows who we are. He knows what we're going through. He knows how to fix it. And he will guide us if we let him. In Philippians 4 and verse 19, Paul wrote, but my God shall supply all your needs according to the riches in glory by Christ. How could we ask for anything more? How can we be anxious? Put God first, and he will take care of it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. How many times have we repeated that over and over and over again, but how many times do we do it? Tomorrow is going to take care of itself. Let's just live for today and get through the day. There's enough trouble in just today to have to try to add to that what may or may not happen tomorrow. To have that peace which passes all understanding, the very opposite of what anxiety has to offer, is that we must be faithful to the Lord and we must seek him first. There's four suggestions that I'd like to use to close tonight for what we can do when we face anxiety. Not all of these are mine. I won't take credit for all of them, but some of them I did think of. If you allow anxiety to rule in your life, then your faith in God has ceased. That may be a little bit harsh, but that is so true. In other words, you've given up. But if you feel like you're giving up, here's what you need to do. Fess up. Anxiety sometimes is brought on by sin. Maybe we have transgressed God's laws. Maybe we feel because we transgressed that there is no hope. But in 1 John 1 and verse 9, John said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And once we fessed up, we need to look up. When depressed and stressed and depressed, don't forget to pray. Great things happen when you pray. I'm going to be very honest. This past week was extremely difficult. And I think I've been pretty honest with Becky. I struggled all week for that service yesterday. And it's actually Thursday night I wrote it, but it wasn't until I prayed a long time. And then the fingers went and the thoughts flowed. God listens when we pray. Sometimes we're not going to like the answers, but He still wants us to pray. This is the same God that's listening to our prayers that created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. So don't you think He can do something with the problems that you're facing in a moment? And once you've looked up, cheer up. It's written, a sorrowful heart which manifests itself in a downcast countenance breaks the spirit of man, but a cheerful heart which shows itself in a smiling countenance lifts up the spirit of man. When you've admitted it, when you've looked up, then it's time to cheer up. You know, too many times we're walking around downcast and worried about everything that you wonder why nobody's coming around you. It's because they don't want to be in that negative energy. People love being around cheerful people. When we've done that, then we need to grow up. That's mine. We need to grow up. Christian life is all about spiritual growth. It isn't just about knowing what the Bible says, but it is about doing what the Bible says. We can read it cover to cover and know it backwards and forwards. But if it isn't a daily part of our lives, we're not going to be able to carry on. It's the spiritual growth that helps us each and every day. It helps us to be able to endure. It's for this that Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, for which cause we faint not. But though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. These have been stressful months for many of us. Many of us have worked our fingers to the bones. Many of us have fretted over a lot of things. And I'm not immune from any of this either, because there is a lot of times where I get anxious too. And there is a lot of times I dwell on things that will probably never happen. But I'm human just like you are. I'm no different than any of you. But there's a way out of it each and every day if we just look to the Lord and let Him take care of things for us and have faith in Him. You know, the last thing we ever want to do, I love when my son comes and does things with me, but there's a problem whenever that happens. I want it done my way. And he has his own ideas. And we knock heads together. When my neighbor gave us the materials to replace the front of the fence, our fence, part of our fence, after he had done it, and my son come over to give me a hand, and we were setting some posts, and my son was down there, and he was digging. I'm saying, no, I need it closer. But Dad, you don't need it closer. I said, I want the post closer. This is my fence. Of course, he had the post hole digger, too. And my philosophy is whoever's holding the hammer hammers the nail. But I wasn't going to let him nail that nail. And we bump heads, and the same thing happens when he's asked me to come over and help him. And we start bumping heads because I got an idea of how to make it easier. You know, we're all human, and we all endure the stresses of life. But it's how we endure these stresses that makes a difference on the end result. I said something at the funeral yesterday that I hope that we can remember even today. We are not responsible for the hand that we've been dealt in life. But we are responsible on how we play that hand. We are responsible. Don't let anxiety destroy your faith in God. Please. If there is anyone here this evening that is not a child of God, we want to give you an opportunity tonight to obey that gospel, to have your name added to the roll in heaven and allow God to add you to His church. Through repentance and confession and baptism, you can become that child. And then resolve in yourself to live that faithful life and to grow each and every day spiritually to become the man or the woman that God wants you to be and secure you a mansion in heaven. And maybe you are a child of God, and maybe some of these things have hit home. And maybe there's something in your life you need to repent of, to turn around. If it's something that you need to have done in a public way, we want to give you that opportunity. Or maybe it's just you just want us to pray for you to have strength to be able to overcome the things you face in life. Whatever your need is tonight, we want to give you that opportunity as together we stand and we sing.